Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
As far as
Christian Wood,
he's our guy.
We still got
Ja'Shawn Tate.
Our goal is still to win a championship.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Being in a win now situation, that's great. I'm a win now coach.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
The Rockets ultimately fall to the Bulls 125-120, pushing them to 4-8 on the season, just 1-5 on the road. But Victor Oladipo shined in his Rockets debut, posting 32 points, the second most points scored by a brand new Rocket in franchise history. The number one spot on that list being held by some bearded fellow. Wonder what he's up to. And then the third spot on that list actually being held by his new teammate Christian Wood at 31 points in his first Rockets appearance. What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at ClutchCityCR. This is another one of those games where the Rockets didn't have the right energy from the beginning. They came out a little flat, and we'll hear Steven Silas say as much a little bit later on. But this is another one of those kind of building block games where if you look at how they progressed through this game flat out, like there's no sugarcoating it, was a train wreck in the first quarter for the Rockets. They had 9 turnovers. They were shooting really poorly. They only posted a 16-point quarter, going down 12 against the Bulls, 28-16 after one. And they looked all kinds of flustered. But then they started getting together. The chemistry, you could watch the chemistry being developed on the fly between Christian Wood and Victor Oladipo and the other guys on the floor. You could see Eric Gordon kind of getting after it a little bit after, you know, being out a couple games. This is a frustrating loss because the Rockets were the better basketball team for the second, third, and fourth quarters. They were. But the Bulls were a significantly better team in the first quarter, and that's really what the separating factor was here. I mean, you lose the game by 5 points, 125-120, and you had to dig yourself out of that 12-point deficit after the first quarter. So whenever you start the game, whenever you dig yourself into a hole that early on, it just makes it really difficult later in the game to make that, you know, significant push to take things back over, especially on the road. I mean, you could sometimes get away with that when you're at home. I think that's something that plays a part in these flat starts is, these empty stadiums are tough, all this stuff. But on the night, Victor Oladipo and Christian Wood both had 30-plus point performances. Vic posted 32 points, 5 boards, 9 assists, 2 steals on 13 of 23 shooting, 4 of 9 from behind the arc, only four trips to the free throw line, shot 2 of 4 there. Did have 7 turnovers, which is, you know, a pretty glaring number on the stat sheet. But that's, you know, you can chalk up a bunch of those to it literally being his first game. He's only had the one practice with the Rockets. So, you know, those are going to be cut down. But there was, you know, some really promising play between some two-man game between he and Christian Wood. So that's definitely something that we want to watch develop moving forward. And then Christian Wood had one of his more efficient games of the season after starting off a bit slow in this one. He posted 30 points, 11 of 16 shooting, snagged 9 rebounds, dished out an assist, had a steal. No blocks in this one for Christian Wood, so unfortunately his block average is going to dip a little bit for any of you fantasy players out there that have C-Wood on your roster. No blocks from this one. Did shoot 3 of 5 from behind the three-point line, which is nice to see him converting at a high rate. from behind the line. 5 of 6 at the charity stripe is also nice to see out of him, seeing as how the Rockets have hung a lot of points at the free throw line as of late, and they still did it again in this one. Just 11 of 17 shooting at the free throw line for 64.7%. And anytime you lose by a smaller margin than the number of free throws you missed, so they missed 6 free throws and they lost by 5 points, you go back and look at your free throws and you're like, well, where did we lose the game? The Rockets lost the game based on their free throw shooting, and a few other factors here and there, but the free throws certainly didn't help anything. Now, as far as just kind of rolling through general themes from this game, I really think it's the player of the game, your Rockets player of the game, it's got to go to Victor Oladipo. To roll out with only one practice under your belt and play this really stellar game, it looks good. The future is bright for this team, and we're gonna talk in the third segment about tanking versus staying competitive, because I'm still not sure which direction this team should go in. I'm kind of like, I understand the arguments on both sides, so we'll talk about that. But Victor Oladipo is definitely your player of the game in this one. To be able to come out, join a new team, and drop 32 in your first game. And again, the team's still not healthy. The team is still missing John Wall. The team is still missing Daniel House Jr. Team is still missing Sterling Brown. Getting Wall back is going to be, I think, the single most important thing for some of these slower starts that this team is having. Having a legitimate floor general, there have been times where not having a de facto ball handler out there has looked a little bad. It's great having multiple guys on the team who are confident in their ball handling ability, who can just grab the board and then just jet up the court to try and jumpstart the fast break or get the Rockets into their offensive sets, sure. But having that safety net, having that player who you can kind of just default to orchestrate the offense, again, that floor general is nice to have, and that's been sorely missing these past few games with John Wall out. Now, again, Silas and Rockets and Rockets brass, they're not worried about his knee. Again, they're just being overly cautious with it. So hopefully he'll be back soon. Hopefully we'll get word on what his situation is like moving forward. Would love to see him back for the Phoenix Suns game. That'd be a great one. See John Wall up against Chris Paul. But we don't have any word yet on what his situation looks like. But I want to dive into, some of the other signature moments from this game, some of the other themes from this game, and we'll get there in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. NFL playoffs are here, NBA season is in full swing, and baseball is right around the corner. And look, there is only one place that has you covered and one place that we here at Locked On Rockets trust, and that is betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Look, there's great games every night in the NBA. There's going to be some big playoff games across the NFL to throw some money on. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's time to get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's check in with Coach Silas and see his thoughts on Victor Oladipo's first performance as a Rocket, as well as how this team kind of started this game and the struggles from the jump.
He was good. Started off a little bit shaky, which is natural. But you can see what we can be with him on the floor. We can see that he can be a primary scorer. He can make plays for others. He can really get after it on the defensive end. So, we're excited about him and the prospects of what he can do and what he can be. I wouldn't say we weren't ready to play, but we didn't bring the correct energy at the beginning of the game. It was silent in the building. It was dead. And we didn't bring the correct energy that it takes to compete in an NBA game in that first quarter.
And that was head coach Steven Silas discussing Victor Oladipo's first performance as well as the Rockets' early struggles in this one. Now, just kind of looking, again, they got off to that rough start in the beginning, and it's really tough. You know, I'm sitting here trying to decide, because I've got a whole little, like, themed out, I don't know what, peek behind the curtain for you. I've got like a Google Doc that I run through, and I draft up all my notes for the pod before I sit down to record. And I usually draft the notes during the game. And it's really tough for me right now whether I want to, because I have one note and it's like, okay, was it, you know, were the offensive or defensive issues worse? And I kind of decide every game which one was more important. I'm kind of torn on this one. I don't know. You know, because the first quarter struggles were both offensive and defensive, but I feel like they were compounded. I shouldn't say compacted. That's not the right word. They were compounded by the turnovers in the first quarter, and that's an offensive issue. That's a chemistry issue offensively. But then the rest of the game, they just couldn't quite get the stops that they needed down the stretch. Credit to the Bulls. Lauri Markkanen had a pretty solid overall night. Zach LaVine was sensational. 33 points on 11 of 16 shooting, 4 of 8 from behind the arc, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. The Bulls outscored the Rockets. The bench scoring was 41-28 in favor of the Bulls. And you know, the Rockets came within 3 points, came within a single possession multiple times in this game, and it seemed like every single time the Rockets were right there, the Bulls had an answer. The biggest one of which was that really huge shot from Lauri Markkanen to bump the score from 113 to 119 with just a little over 45 seconds left in the game. Christian Wood hit his pair of free throws with a minute to go, brought the game within one possession. And then the Rockets had, again, it was a really, really sloppy defensive possession where they were scattering. They were really running the Bulls off the three-point line, but the Bulls kept making that perfect little extra pass until the ball finally found its way to Lauri Markkanen, and he just splashed the three-pointer with 47 seconds left on the clock. And regrettably, that was pretty much the dagger for this game, because on the very next possession, the Rockets missed a three-pointer from Victor Oladipo, and they had to foul Garrett Temple after that. Temple makes his two free throws. They go back and forth a little bit, and that was pretty much the game. So that was kind of the dagger there. But I think it's early on, it was the offensive issues in the first quarter, the turnovers, the sloppy play, just the miscommunications, the miscues, and that's just a lack of chemistry. That's, you know, these guys haven't played together enough. And I know it probably sucks to continue to hear that, to hear, you know, these guys need the time to gel, to get together. But again, for a team that has not had a consistent lineup all season, we're still seeing Silas kind of experiment with his lineups. You know, we're still seeing Silas kind of picking and choosing who's going to do what and where. Down the stretch in this one, he trusted Jayshon Tate over David Nwaba in the closing lineup. And based on my opinions and a lot of other people's opinions, David Nwaba shouldn't really be in the starting lineup. He's great as an energy guy, and he's great to plug in off the bench as a disruptor. But the Rockets need some shooting. They need a bit more of an offensive presence in that starting lineup to get off to a better start in some of these games, and David Nwaba is just not that guy. And I would lean to say Jayshon Tate should take the role, at least continuing in the absence of Daniel House. But at the same time, I also really would like to see Sterling Brown in that role. Again, I made my case before for Jayshon Tate to continue to be on the bench, so that he can kind of be that facilitator for the secondary unit. But it looks like Steven Silas is pretty comfortable allowing Mason Jones and Eric Gordon to kind of do a majority of the handling of the basketball in that secondary unit. At least that's what we saw in this game, where Gordon and Jones were handling the rock quite a bit during some of those secondary unit minutes. And then Victor Oladipo did a pretty stellar job after some early turnovers, and once he was finally acclimated in kind of running the point for this team, even though that's not his traditional position or his traditional role on the floor. He, you know, he's very comfortable with the ball in his hands, so that's nice to see. So, I mean, maybe Jay Sean Tate would be a good fit in the starting lineup. Again, this is all still early for Steven Silas. He's still trying to figure out what he's got. I mean, when I asked Silas the other day, you know, what his plans for Jay Sean Tate were down the line, he went so far as to say, I didn't expect to have a point forward on this roster. So he wants to find a way to balance what Jay Sean Tate is good at, his playmaking ability, alongside what these really talented guards bring to the table in John Wall, Victor Oladipo, and Eric Gordon. So maybe he's the right guy to slot in at the starting three spot, especially because, hey, it seems like Jay Sean Tate found his corner three ball. And that's not insignificant. I've been saying for the better part of this early season that when Jay Sean Tate finds a consistent three ball, I think he basically becomes your best 3-and-D guy on the roster, at least your most well-rounded one, because the argument for House and Brown is they're better shooters. They've got a little bit more length than Jay Sean Tate does, since Tate stands at a towering 6'4". He's got that PJ Tucker-esque build about him. But with Tate, you know, he utilizes his strength really well. It doesn't really feel like he's ever been outclassed or outmatched defensively. And what he gives you with the playmaking, with the ball handling, with the inside scoring ability, just the measured way that he plays for a rookie, if he can find that consistent three ball, I think he suddenly leapfrogs Brown and House for most well-rounded of those possible 4 3-and-D guys that you would slot into that starting three spot and would then deserve the starting nod. Now, was this an outlier? Is he going to go back to, you know, 1 of 3, 1 of 4 three-point shooting down the line? We'll see. If he can keep doing it consistently, I think there's no reason why he shouldn't get a chance at the starting lineup, at least moving forward. Now, a guy that has been kind of struggling, unfortunately, is DeMarcus Cousins. And Cousins has just not had a great go of it offensively this season. He's shown some flashes defensively. He's made some right reads. And offensively, he's also, you know, facilitating the ball at a pretty decent rate. It's just getting the ball to go from point A to B and, you know, getting it from his hands into the bucket seems to be a monstrous challenge for DeMarcus Cousins. In 16 minutes, he was 0 of 7 from the floor. He was a team worst, minus 17, which is kind of a crazy flip that through the better part of the early season, the bench units for the Rockets were the ones that were actually the most effective, and it felt like the starters were kind of dragging ass every game. And now, in this game, and I believe in the previous game, although I don't have that box score pulled up, but in this game specifically, you can look down the starting lineup and see Wood was a team best plus 15 in his minutes on the court, Tucker plus 7, Gordon plus 6, Depot plus 3, and Nwaba plus 1. And then you go down to the bench, and the bench, Tate was minus 12, Cousins minus 17, Jones was minus 12, McLemore was minus 16. I mean, just not a great look. The bench unit definitely struggling in this game, getting kind of blasted by the Bulls, unfortunately. So there's a few more spots I want to talk about from this one. Definitely want to touch base to wrap up at least that conversation about competing now versus tanking, and a few more of the signature moments from this game, some of the cool moments that stood out, a few more outliers, and we'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, whereas RockAuto.com's prices are the exact same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest possible prices, rather than changing their prices around based on what the market will bear, kind of like what airlines do. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything, and I mean everything, that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So be sure to go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. And this is the super important part. Be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, discussing the Rockets 125-120 loss against the Chicago Bulls, Victor Oladipo's debut game as a Houston Rocket. So let's hear his thoughts after this one.
Our better days are ahead of us, definitely. You know, obviously, you know, it was just, you know, off the fly, and we kind of just went out there and just kind of winged it a little bit, but not very much time to prep, but, you know, our better days are ahead, and everyone just stay patient, including us. But our better days are ahead. This is only the beginning. And, you know, just little stuff like getting used to playing with the guys in their spots and, you know, we just got to be better defensively. And once we do that and we really click, we can be really special. I truly believe that. So we just got to keep getting better.
Couldn't agree more with Victor Oladipo. Better days are ahead for this team. There's a lot of talent on this team. There really is. And I mean, there were some significant moments from this game, some really, really cool, fun moments from this game. I mean, Victor Oladipo, you know, had a pretty solid looking block on that one possession coming from the weak side. He wasn't credited with the block, but because there was a foul right before he skied up and denied the shot attempt. But, you know, he's a really solid defensive presence. You could kind of see him getting after it defensively from the point of attack through this game. Christian Wood had an absolute sledgehammer dunk after pump faking on the three-point line and driving into the rim, kind of one of those Statue of Liberty dunks almost. A couple other things from this one. What else we got? The Bulls had a really, really strong half. Granted, that first quarter, the Rockets basically served themselves up on a silver platter, but the Bulls were in the 50-40-90 club for this game for the first half, which is impressive as all hell to do, shooting 50% from the floor, 40% from behind the arc, and then 90% from the free throw line. Usually you hear that stat referred to for individual players, not for teams. So that was, again, a really blistering half from the Chicago Bulls. And for the Rockets to only find themselves down 12 points at the half, you know, they should have kind of considered themselves lucky there. What else did I have here? Something that I completely missed in the last show was that during the second game against the Spurs, we actually, Rockets Twitter got a shout out again from Matt Bullard, kind of highlighting the poll that we had up on Saturday afternoon, kind of trying to break down a nickname for the Jayshon Tate fan club. And as the official, unofficial president, unofficially official president of the Jayshon Tate fan club, it boiled down to, we had the four options. We had the Tater Tots, we had the United Tates, we had Tate's Mates, and we had Tate Train. And the two that it came down to, shout out Alan and shout out Josh on Twitter. We had Tater Tots won by a small margin, and then the United Tates were the second most voted nickname for the Tate fan club. And we got a shout out on the broadcast on Saturday from Matt Bullard himself, which is always cool to receive a shout out on the actual broadcast. And I mean, honestly, the two nicknames are so solid. Tater Tots, or, you know, going even further to say the Tater Tot Boys, and the United Tates. They're both pretty solid nicknames for the fan club of one Jayshon Tate. So that's pretty cool there. And then, surprisingly, so like Mad Max tweeted out as well, as while we're on the nickname train, Mad Max tweeted out, you know, is C Wood really the best nickname that we can come up with for this guy? And everybody's, you know, scrambling, trying to come up with a better nickname for Christian Wood. And I'm sitting here like an idiot, and I'm Googling, I'm like, words with the word wood inside of them, and I'm like scrolling through this list that's made for like Scrabble or Words with Friends or whatever, trying to track down a word with wood inside of it that kind of fits. And I stumble upon Redwood at first, and I'm like, oh, Redwood kind of fits. Like, that's kind of a dope nickname because he's a rocket. The colors are red. He's got the last name Wood. It's a tree, all that good stuff. And I'm like, that's a pretty decent one. And we're talking about this in the Clutch City Control Room group DM. And of course, you know, any conversation discussing Christian Wood, I mean, some of the nicknames and jokes are already out there. They write themselves. But we also had a suggestion. Somebody said Slingwood. Pause. So that was great. We're just discussing this back and forth, and I'm still hung up on words that have the word wood inside of them. For my fellow Houstonians, I'm hung up on the word Braeswood, because I'm thinking of like streets in Houston, and I actually live off of Braeswood. So I'm like, okay, Braeswood. And then suddenly it hits me like a damned freight train. We need to call Christian Wood Post Oak. Now, for non-Houstonians, Post Oak is a street in Houston. There's North Post Oak, there's South Post Oak, right? And so but just in general, Post Oak is a street in Houston. So it fits on two levels. It's a street in Houston. Christian Wood is a big who, you know, dominates in the post. The Oak part fits the Wood part of his last name, which is incredible. And then to tie it all together, which I didn't realize until about halfway through the game, because I came up with Post Oak right before the game. To tie it all together, Christian Wood is a whopping 6'10", otherwise 6'10", and Post Oak is a street that runs adjacent to the 610 freeway here in Houston. So it works on three different levels, which is really awesome. And I'm pretty fond of the nickname Post Oak, but for the non-Houstonians out there, that is the explanation, the reasoning behind that nickname. It's a very Houston nickname, and from the different areas that I've shared it, both on Twitter and Facebook, it's gotten a pretty decent return. People seem pretty engaged with that nickname. So hopefully it catches on. I think it's kind of a cool one. Let me know how you feel about it. If you like the Post Oak nickname, if you don't like the Post Oak nickname, I'm kind of impressed with myself on this one. I'm not going to lie. I'm like kind of like rubbing my shoulders right now, just a little, you know, whatever. But we needed a better nickname for Christian Wood than just C. Wood. You know, that C. Wood it's just an abbreviation of his name. And, you know, it's not a super cool abbreviation like PG-13 or CP-3. Like, you know, what are we going to, you know, CW-35? Like, I mean, that's kind of, eh. I like Post Oak a lot. I think we should run with it. And that's kind of my point there. But to wrap this one up, you know, I want to focus on the situation at hand where there's kind of this dividing line where some people want the Rockets to tank and other people want the Rockets to remain competitive. And I can see both sides of the aisle. I can see both sides of the argument. I'm still not 100% sure which side I fall into, which camp I fall into. But ultimately, here's the situation with the Rockets and with their pick situation for this year. So it's a little bit convoluted because there is a very, very complicated pick swap taking place this season. So here's the breakdown of it with five teams involved: Oklahoma City, the Houston Rockets, the Miami Heat, the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Brooklyn Nets. Here's the super complicated pick swap. Oklahoma City gets the top two picks. The Rockets get the very next two picks, and then Brooklyn gets the last pick of the bunch. Now, of these picks, the Rockets pick is top four protected. The Portland Trailblazers pick is top 14 protected. So under that understanding, let's pretend for a moment that the protections don't kick in. So it fits exactly how I just described it. OKC gets the first two, Rockets get the next two, the Nets get the last one, if the protections don't kick in. Now, if the Rockets' protection kicks in, that means the Rockets were more than likely one of the worst four teams in the league, which gives them a 48% chance, a 12% chance, to be in the top four in the lottery. Those are pretty slim odds. You're essentially, if the Rockets were to decide to blow it up and to tank away the rest of this season, they only have a 48% chance to retain that top four pick. So personally, I don't see an issue with remaining competitive, at least for this season moving forward, because you've still got a really competitive, talented roster once everybody's lined up and back together. And look, even though the Rockets find themselves in a 4-8 hole early on, it's not a hole that they can't dig themselves out of. I mean, if you look at the standings in the Western Conference, all the way from the Spurs, who the Rockets just played and are currently sitting at 8-6, they're in the fifth seed right now. And they're only two losses ahead in the loss column of the Rockets. So, I mean, this isn't an unsalvageable season. The Rockets aren't, you know, yes, technically they're at the, you know, second to last spot in the Western Conference right now, but they're also only a couple games back of being in the playoff hunt. And so this is a team that I genuinely think reasonably can be a 6-8 seed in the West, or at a minimum could make it to the play-in tournament, based on kind of what we've seen, some individual performances from some of these guys, and just getting those guys to then gel together in the lineup, and getting those kind of complementary pieces to work alongside John Wall, Christian Wood, Victor Oladipo. I mean, that's still a really solid top three guys, plus Eric Gordon there, and then the plethora of 3-and-D guys around those guys, the young upstart rookies. Like, this is a team that has a chance to make a little bit of noise in the West and have a fun, competitive season. Or, again, you tank it all away for just a shot at a top four pick. So I can kind of see the reasoning to stay competitive this season. Now, I don't know how it works if the Portland pick gets factored in there, because the Rockets are owed the Portland pick. So I'm not sure exactly how that swap gets factored in if the pick pushes to next season. But it is a very convoluted pick swap. It's definitely very, very messy. And then just the idea moving forward about tanking, you know, I pointed out on Twitter that Daryl Morey didn't tank after the T-Mac Yao eras. He kept the team competitive, and it was pointed out to me by a couple people, and rightfully so, that was a mandate kind of dictated by former owner Leslie Alexander, who was very, very much against the idea of tanking whatsoever. Whereas Daryl Morey, kind of coming from the Sam Hinkie tree of management in the NBA, would have more than likely loved to actually tank if given the opportunity to do so. So it'll be interesting to see which direction Rafael Stone goes in. Leslie Alexander largely had two mandates as the owner, which is, you know, put out a competitive roster every season. He didn't want to tank, and he didn't want to pay the tax either. And Daryl Morey, you know, did both of those things flawlessly. And we already know, at least under the table, that Tillman Fertitta is very much against paying the tax to this point in his career as the Rockets owner. And so it wouldn't surprise me if he's also got a similar mandate about wanting to field a competitive roster every year, so that way there's not, you know, a down year where there's, you know, nobody coming to the games as far as ticket sales. I mean, if there would be a down year, next season would be the one to do it. With everything, you know, people still a little apprehensive about, you know, situations regarding COVID. You know, maybe not everybody's going to be going out and wanting to go to a packed, you know, 17,000-18,000 stadium, you know, every single night, that kind of thing. So maybe next season would be the season to take a down season and, you know, take a bit of a hit on ticket sales, revenue, all that stuff. But something tells me that Tillman Fertitta probably is going to fit more along the Leslie Alexander mold and wants to field a competitive team throughout this rebuild rather than truly bottoming out and tanking to try and receive a top prospect, which kind of sucks, but at the same time, it makes sense that, again, it's really tough to quantify and to see how some of those rookies are going to develop coming out of the draft. There's been more draft busts than there have been, you know, draft success stories, I think. And when you're looking at this current NBA landscape, it's dominated by a bunch of like early 30-year-old guys. Like, all the top players across the league, so many of them are in their early 30s right now. And in 2 or 3 years, those early 30-year-old guys are going to be phasing themselves out hardcore, really this last generation of players. And it kind of feels like the next generation's a little bit weaker. Maybe it's because they haven't quite had their chance in the limelight yet, because the older generation, the old guard still kind of exists. But there are different guys for the Rockets to potentially have their eyes on. Devin Booker, and I know that this is much further down the line, but Devin Booker is an interesting option, because the Suns are kind of caught in this weird mold where they're kind of win now, but they're also kind of young. Booker and Ayton are on that younger timeline. Chris Paul, obviously, on the older end of the spectrum. And so, like, if the Suns don't accomplish anything in these next 2 years with Chris Paul, and he moves on to maybe, you know, ring chase with one of the other, you know, contending teams out there, rather than trying to be the second or third best player on that Suns team, reasonably so, if Father Time starts to catch up to him, then maybe Devin Booker gets fed up in Phoenix. Maybe he demands a trade. Maybe he, you know, wants a change of scenery, a new look organization. And Devin Booker is, like, you know, we talk about Mason Jones being baby Harden, but that's really the baby Harden out there. Devin Booker is Harden light as far as scoring and volume and efficiency and all that stuff. So there's a world where maybe the Rockets target a guy like Booker, who maybe gets unhappy in his situation and potentially forces a trade away from the Suns. And they've got this entire store of draft capital now to be able to throw at Devin Booker. And I think Booker, based on what he's shown so far, could easily grow into the number one option on a championship team. And if you're talking about a dynamic duo of Devin Booker and Christian Wood as a potential hypothetical further down the line, man, that's a duo right there. That is a duo to be dealt with in the pick and roll. That is a really exciting tandem of guys to be able to compete in the Western Conference. So I really don't know which direction Rafael Stone is going to go with this, whether he's going to attempt to actually draft and kind of home grow the next superstar here in Houston, or if he wants to utilize those draft picks as a currency to kind of flip certain players and maybe, you know, set up a package deal to bring in the next superstar, similar to what Daryl Morey did with James Harden those, you know, short 8 years ago. But it'll be interesting. Again, that's what's cool about following this team, is we're going to see how these things shake out, how things pan out. But these two losses, even though they've lost back-to-back games now against the Spurs and the Bulls, I think there's just so many positive takeaways from each of these games. And once they can kind of trim down in the areas that they need to, I think DeMarcus Cousins is probably only good for 10, maybe 15 minutes a night, and needs to reduce his role offensively, at least until he can find the range from three again, or potentially get DeMarcus Cousins in the paint, man. You know, he's a, you know, 265-pound dude who hasn't posted up hardly at all this season, it feels like. So maybe get him down low, get him some easier looks, get him switched onto some guards so that he can find his rhythm a little bit offensively. Getting John Wall reacclimated and get that chemistry built with Victor Oladipo, which, shout out, there's the Walladipo nickname, which I think is incredible. Can't take credit for that one. I can only take credit for Post Oak. But the Walladipo nickname, I love that. That's going to be a really excellent backcourt to watch play together moving forward. And they've got their very next game against the Phoenix Suns on Wednesday night, and that's going to be a really interesting one. But we'll be joined by at RedNationBR here for our very next episode, which is going to be all kinds of fun. So a Brazilian account for the Houston Rockets. So shout out Red. Can't wait to have him on the show. And then later this week, we'll also have Dave Hardesty from Clutch Fans. Clutch himself will be on the podcast, so don't want to miss out on either of those two shows. But for this one, that's going to be where we wrap things up. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.